I'm just going to concentrate on the last bit of it. The bit where Peter and Jesus have this fascinating conversation. It's obviously a response to what happened a few days beforehand. Remember how Peter denied Jesus three times. It's described very clearly in all the Gospels how Peter had always said to Jesus, "I will never deny you." And Jesus told him, do you remember, that he would deny him three times before the cock crowed. And that's exactly what happened. In Luke's Gospel, we read about that. It says, at that moment, while Peter was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Now, Jesus gave Peter here the opportunity to undo that, if you like. It really is part of Peter's repentance for what he did just before Jesus' death. Jesus gave him here the opportunity to do something positive. Now, Jesus knew perfectly well that Peter was very sorry for what he had done. He was sorry immediately, the fact that he wept bitterly, and Jesus saw it. But Jesus, of course, could see into Peter's heart. He knew that Peter was desperately sorry for what he'd done. But there's more than just being sorry. There's more to repentance than just being sorry. At the beginning of the service, we said our confession. We read the words out from this book, and I said an absolution. We expressed to God that we are sorry for the things that we've done wrong. But Jesus is showing us here that repentance is not just about being sorry. I don't know if you know, but in the Greek of the New Testament, in the original words of the New Testament, the word used for repentance is the word metanoia, and it doesn't mean being sorry. It actually means a change of mind. The noia bit is the mind bit. It's about actually deciding to go a different way. Remember what happened to Peter before Jesus' death, resurrection, ascension, and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. We read quite a lot about Peter in the Gospels. He's probably, apart from Jesus, the person we know most about. And it's very clear that he's got a certain character traits. He's certainly a man of great courage, but he's very impetuous. He opens his mouth without thinking. I remember my sister used to have a friend who was like that, and my sister used to say to her about her, she only opens her mouth to change feet, using that well-known expression. But Peter was like that. He was willing to go things. But of course, it also meant that he was able not just to be positively impetuous, but also, if you like, negatively impetuous. The fact that he denied Jesus those three times when push came to shove, as we say, shows that he's not, if you like, a very stable character. Yet then when we read about Peter in the Acts of the Apostles, we read about someone very different. I mean, it's obviously the same Peter. He's still got that great courage. He's still willing to step out. He's still willing to move things. But he's also got an incredible wisdom and a deep understanding and the willingness to actually really follow Jesus. Follow Jesus in the sense of doing the things that Jesus did when he was on earth. Following Jesus in the sense of hearing his voice and being willing to actually follow him step by step. What we read about Peter doing in the Acts of the Apostles is amazing. It really is amazing. So it's interesting to ask the question, what happened to Peter at that point, at that time when Jesus died, rose again, when the Spirit was poured out? This is a big part of it, it seems. Peter's repentance of what he'd done, but also this positive step that Jesus takes him through. So Jesus actually asks him three times, "Do you love me?" First of all, he said, "Do you love me more than these?" And there's a bit of a debate about what he meant by these, but I think it's fairly clear. He's talking about the fish. remember Peter was a fisherman. He was a fisherman to the tips of his fingers. He'd worked all his life as a fisherman. He knew all about fish. And it's rather odd that he actually, the beginning of that passage, we hear him speaking to the other disciples, saying to them, "I'm going fishing." It's as though he kind of reverted back to his old life. He hasn't quite got to the point of being the real leader of the church following Jesus' ascension. He's going back to his old ways. And that, I think, is what Jesus is saying to him. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than the things that you're used to? Do you love me more than the things that you've depended on for your life up to this point? And he gave Peter the opportunity to say, "Yes, Lord, I love you. You know that I love you." And of course, Jesus did know that he loved him. But he was giving Peter this opportunity to speak the words out. In a sense that Peter had betrayed him by saying words, Jesus was giving him the opportunity to affirm his faith in Jesus and his love for Jesus by actually saying something. And Jesus said, we read three times, don't we? Jesus said, first of all, "Feed my lambs." Then he said, "Tend my sheep." And then, "Feed my sheep." I'm pretty sure that when he's talking about feeding there, he's not talking about physical feeding. We know actually Peter didn't particularly do that. But we know that Peter fed people with the word of God. And you know what Jesus said to the devil, "Man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So when Jesus talked to Peter about feeding his lambs and feeding his sheep, he's talking there about feeding the word of God to people. First of all, the lambs, and by lambs, he seems to mean those who are young in the faith. So he's talking about, I believe, young people, feeding them with the word of God, but also feeding people who are young in the faith. And of course, that's exactly what he did on the day of Pentecost. When Peter stood there in Jerusalem and spoke to the people, he spoke the word of God into their hearts, which caused 3,000 of them to repent, to be baptized, and to put their faith in Jesus. Peter really did feed Jesus's lambs. He said, "Tend my sheep." That seems to be about sort of pastoral care, the thing that Peter did as leader of the church in Jerusalem, of looking after people, and particularly his people, the people of the church. "Tend my sheep." We're all called to do that, to look after each other, to be shepherds to each other, to our flocks. And then he says, finally, "Feed my sheep." And that's kind of what I think I'm doing at this very moment. I'm trying to feed you with the word of God. You are sheep. You're grown up lambs. Your faith has developed. And so I have a responsibility, but we all have a responsibility to share what God gives us, the words that he gives us, so that we can actually grow and be sustained by the word of God. So feed my sheep is what Peter was told to do and what we are told to do. And then, as I said, as we go on into the book of Acts, we find Peter really living this out, what Jesus had commissioned him to do, starting on the day of Pentecost. And going on from there. Let me just finish with the words that Peter said to the people on the day of Pentecost, when they asked him, after he'd spoken the word of God to them. It says, "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.'" So that's what we need to do, is repent, but to repent properly, not just say the words, but have a real intention in our hearts to change our lives, to follow Jesus, to live the way he lived. And to be baptized, now I think probably most of us have been baptized at some time, but we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit as well as in water to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as Peter promised here. And then we can live our lives like Peter. I've asked Helen and Myrtle if we can change the communion hymn. So it's why you've got scribbled out in your copy of the grapevine. The fourth hymn is now number 233. And it's a lovely little song that we sing sometimes called I Love You, Lord, and I Lift My Voice. And if some of the things that I've said have touched your hearts, then do join in with the choir as we sing this song and use it as a way of expressing our love for Jesus, taking the example, taking the inspiration from Peter, what he did and what he became.